Good to see you all and see some new guests here. We want to welcome you. We'll continue our theme this morning. Our theme for this year is church growth. So I'll continue to explore this theme, and hopefully this year we will see more people coming to our church, especially those who are non-believers. They can come to church and know our Lord and accept Him as their personal Savior. So maybe you will see this theme as very functional. Maybe you don't like numbers. But I would say that it's a kind of a give us a direction or remind us we are actually a missional group of people, right? Missional. We are missional because we want to bring gospel to many people that they don't know about God. So we want them to know God. There's nothing wrong about church growth in numbers. There's nothing wrong. Quite oppositely, we want more people to know God, right? As evangelical Christians, we want people to know more about God and accept Him as their personal Savior. So today, I'll continue to stress on this theme. Hopefully, we will bring more attention in preaching the gospel to many others. Today, the theme or the sub-theme of this sermon is about divine healing, bringing divine healing to the community. The passage just we read is talking about how the apostles heal many others as they spread the gospel. So we're going to go through this passage. But before that, I would like to take inventory of what we have done so far in reaching out to the unchurched. Okay? Let's take a look. Bring a friend Sunday, EM evangelistic meeting. Bring a friend Sunday is actually very Asian. I mean, if you know what it is, I think you at least been around here for more than 10 years, right? Bring a friend Sunday actually is a gospel Sunday that you bring a friend here and we'll preach a gospel message and hopefully those newcomers will accept Christ as their personal Savior. So bring a friend Sunday, evangelistic meeting, community day. We used to have this gathering in this church, and this few years we go to the community, to the Richmond Green, to the park nearby, and softball outreach. Right, it's one of our outreach initiatives, and also carrying Alpha program. That's what we have done so far. So we have not actually done bringing healing or divine healing to the community. So today maybe we can look into this. Maybe we can find a way to reach out to the community and how we can actually minister to the sick people around us in the community. Talking about divine healing is in our DNA. It's the DNA of Christian Missionary Alliance, right? Fourfold Gospel. The cross represents Jesus Christ as our Savior. The cup is not the cup, right? It's the basin. Represents God is our sanctifier. And the crown represents Jesus Christ is our coming King. And the pitcher represents Jesus Christ is our healer. So divine healing is the DNA of Christian Missionary Alliance. It's part of us. It's part of us. So divine healing should be experienced in this community. And divine healing should be spread out. This blessing should be poured upon all of us, not only here in this church, but those outside of the four walls of this church. Let's look at the CMA statement of faith on divine healing. Provision is made in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing of the mortal body. Prayer for the sick, anointing with oil as taught in the scriptures, are privileges for for the church in this present age. This is one of the statements of faith of CNMA. So it's very clear. It talks about one of the main focus, main of the focus of CNMA. So it talks about divine healing. The scripture references based on this understanding is He took our infirmities and carried our diseases. Matthew chapter 8:17 is actually taken from Isaiah chapter 53. So you are familiar with the passage, the Old Testament passage. And also James chapter 5:14. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we do this, we believe in healing, divine healing, because we believe that the scripture tells us to do that. Right? So we being obedient, and we pray for the sick and ask for divine healing upon the believers. Let's look at what our founder, A.B. Simpson, actually is the one who proposed it. He's not the first one to propose divine healing, but he's the one who has written many literature or many books on this subject. So we look at what he says, okay? First of all, he says, divine healing is the result of personal union with a personal Christ. So why we can get divine healing? Because we are united with Jesus Christ. The new life that we have in us, it brings about the provision of divine healing because we are united with Jesus Christ. The new life in us gives that healing become a reality. Divine healing become a reality in our lives. So this is because of the union of Christ. It's the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. You put it in other way, we are healed by the life of Christ in our body. It's a tender union with Him. That is divine healing. So it's very clear and straightforward. Because we are united with Christ, that we can experience divine healing in our lives. And he is boldly to say that, be fully assured that it's the will of God to heal you. When we pray for healing, we will say, right, if it's the will of God, then heal this person or heal this. Right? We will pray in this kind of manner because we are humble. We don't say, okay, God, you must heal him or we must heal him. No, we will be being humble and pray that according to your will, you will make him well. But according to A.B. Simpson, no. Because we have union. We united with Christ, actually being healed is the will of God. So as we pray according to the will of God that this person being sick will be healed. So we don't say, okay, if it's your will, please heal that person. According to A.B. Simpson, this is not the way that you pray for healing. You just claim the provision of the divine healing to that person. You claim it because it is the will of God. And when A.B. Simpson explains the reasons why people sick, there's many reasons. So this is what it says. There are hundreds of meanings in sicknesses that are allowed to come upon God's dear children, and he will show you what his will is for you. Some of the reasons are maybe the sins of that person. Yes. Is that it? Even though we won't say that because you sin, you are sick, we don't do that. But for people who are sick, they can do this kind of reflection and say, is there something I did wrong? So God not punish me. God discipline me, helping me turn away from sin and return to Him once again. Okay, so it's one reason because of sin. And also the sins of this world, we are sinned against. So sickness is part of this fallen world. So we all got sick. Some minor illness, some serious illness. But we all got sick once in a while, right? So it's about sickness, it's about sinfulness, it's about the sinfulness of this world. So when we're sick, should we go to see a doctor or should we just pray? It's a little bit ambiguous, according to A.B. Simpson. This is what it says. Any other method of dealing with sickness in unauthorized? This is God's plan. Wow, it's very straightforward, right? Don't go to see the doctor. Just pray. Okay. Hemeth, you are in trouble. or Brent. Brent, you will lose your job, right? just kidding. But listen, here's another statement from him. And if natural means have, as they have, do have a limited value, natural means of remedies, of curing sickness, there is ample room for their employment in these cases. So, a little bit ambiguous, right? So I would say, what A.B. Simpson stresses on is pray to God first. Seek divine healing first with simple faith. Don't doubt it. Pray first and then seek medical advice. Is it okay? It's a balance. Will, right? If you have faith that your sickness will be cured by God, let it be. Make sure that faith is coming from God. And at the same time, if you think that you should seek the medical advices, go. Seek medical advices. Actually, most of you know that I'm taking target pills for my cancer. And it works for me perfectly. Minimal side effects. Still can work full time here. Even though maybe a little bit tired sometimes, but it's still functional. And still serving in this church, and this is a blessing from God. See, medical advice is not lack of faith, no. No. Actually, I would say it's one of the provisions from God that we can use and to deal with our sicknesses. This is what A.B. Simpson stresses on. So, be faithful to what Jesus Christ has given to us, the provisions of the redemptive work, that we can receive divine healing. More than one occasion, or in many occasions, people would tell me that he actually experienced divine healing by only praying over by the pastors or the elders. It happens. It happens all the time. Just have faith in God. Experience his divine healing in your life. Okay, what I've just talked about is about divine healing to believers. How about non-believers? How about non-believers? How about bringing divine healing to the community, to the unchurched? Is it authorized in the Bible? Authorized by God? Is it a legitimate way to reach out to the unchurched? Let's look at the passage that we have read, just read. Could you please turn to Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. I'll go through it briefly. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. It's actually a summary or a brief report of the apostles who start to spread the word. And see many people coming to Christ as a result. So this is a summary. You can see that. I'll go through it slowly, and then you can know more about the passage. Okay, verse 12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They did miracles, right? Possibly including healings, divine healings. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. It's at the east side of the temple. Because the large number of people, they cannot meet or meet in one house of the believers. They need to meet in in an open space in the church area, at the temple area. So they meet in Solomon's colonnade, the east side of the temple. And no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Very interesting. No one dared join them because they are afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of being persecuted by the religious leaders. And also because of, when you look at chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, because they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were struck dead. Right? It's a very serious thing. People would say, well, when we believe in this God is the holy God. We have to be very careful. If we don't care, be careful, be holy or honor God, we are in great trouble. So some would not join the apostles or the believers, but they were highly regarded by them. Very interesting. Eh? And then 14 is a summary. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believe in the Lord and were added to their numbers. They're growing. And 15 is about divine healing. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them in beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow may fall on some of them as he passed by. They think that if the sick people can just comfort by the shadows of Peter, they would get healed. They would get healed. So it's very, it's, maybe you would think that it's superstitious, but we look at another passage that you have an answer. Actually, 16 is also about divine healing. Crowds gather also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Actually, people heard about divine healings happening, and so the people bring the sick people to the apostle and pray, and being prayed over, and they got healed. And even the people being tormented by the evil spirits. So you can see that this divine healing is happening. I think it's not only to the believers, because people are coming, right? Coming to the apostle. It should include the non-believers seeking healing. So it's about reaching out to the community through divine healing. Or the people heard about divine healing is are happening, and they bring people in. So about verse 15, very difficult, or maybe it's superstitious for you, that people would bring people in, and maybe Peter's shadows fall on them, they would get healed. Actually, it happens, for Paul. Acts 19, 11, 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that have touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirit left them. Even though it's like superstitious to us, but at that time, people would say, would consider the things that the faith healer touched will have that healing power. And it just happened according to Acts chapter 19. So it's not superstitious, it's they have faith that God's healing is miraculous. It's very wonderful. Even the things that the faith healer wears or they touched will bring divine healing to people. This is what they believe in. So in Acts, actually, a few occasions mentioned about divine healing, and the result of it is bringing people to Christ. The first one is Aeneas, a paralytic, was healed in Acts. So the result is all those who live in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So this is the result of divine healing, and people became Christians as a result. And also, another passage about Dorcas. She was raised from the dead. And this became known to all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is the result of divine healing. So bringing non-believers to Christ because of this miraculous divine healing. This is the result of it. Actually, In the 80s, there's a movement, if you're familiar with the charismatic movement, it's the first wave charismatic movement, begins with the preaching with power. They call power evangelism and power healing. What they did is, they actually gathered sick people in a sanctuary or in a big stadium, and they would ask them, if you are sick, you can come forward, I can pray over you, and you will get healed. Because of these things, these miracles happening, people would say, wow, I can see God's power in your midst, and then I will have faith in God. This is called power evangelism and power healing. John Wimber is one who proposed it. He's written these two books, Power Evangelism and Power Healing. What he commented on the church those days in the 80s, he said, the evangelism that the church is doing has no power. There's no power at all, because I cannot see God's power manifest in the midst. So you cannot convince me that your God is powerful. So what they propose is, okay, you want to see God's power? Okay. You see God's healing in our midst. So they propose it. Many people will see miraculous healing during the gatherings. He proposes that healings aids evangelism. When you see divine healings, you help people to come into Christ. It's very easy to tell people about Christ after they have been healed. If they really experience God's healing, they will have faith in believing in Jesus Christ. Christian signs and wonders are beyond rationality, but they serve a rational purpose to authenticate the gospel. So this is what he proposed. Right now, we don't see many of this, or maybe the charismatic churches will do it, but for the evangelical churches, we seldom do it. I think there's a reason for that. Because when you look at the book of Acts, when the apostle or the Christians proclaim the gospels, many people came to Christ. It's not about the power healing itself. It's about the power of the Word of God. It's the power of proclamation. So you see the passage that I listed. There's many occasions. You can see just a few instances of divine healing bringing people in or bringing people to God. But when you look at the book of Acts, there's many instances that the gospel being preached and people came to know the Christ. This is very important, that the power is not only demonstrated in healing, but the power of the proclamation of the Word of God. The Word of God has power, bringing people to Christ. I just take one biblical reference for you to look at. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. It's about hearing the Word of God. The power is there. So I would say John Wimber, maybe he goes too far. He focused too much on power healing or power evangelism or divine healing. And maybe he said that it's the only model of evangelism. But what I would say, I would stick to the evangelical model, preaching of the word, and then healing, divine healing on the side. This is what our founder A.B. Simpson says. Very interesting. In his book, Gospel of Healing, I've had poor sinners come seeking salvation. Many persons have been led to Christ through their desire to escape disease. So very normal, right? I've never felt that I could claim the healing of anyone until they first accept Jesus as a Savior. But I have several times since the soul saved and the body healed in the same time. You see? A.B. Simpson would stick to the evangelical models who said, okay, if you want to get healed, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior first. And then we'll pray over you, and then you will get healed. You will get healed. But the last sentence, it will say, oh, sometimes it happens at the same time. Which comes first? We don't know, but at least A.B. Simpson would notice that people maybe they don't believe in Christ yet, but they just have faith that they want to receive healing, then they got healed eventually. So evangelical models, I would say proclamation as primary and divine healings an auxiliary. But I would say, it's sad to say we don't always pray for sick people or ask the non-believers who are sick and come to the church and we pray over him. And maybe they can experience divine healing. Or when we can go to the community and we can offer healing prayer for people who are sick. We seldom do that. Last time we went to a Nick Wilcox and to reach out to the community. Actually, Francis is here. Right? We prayed for one lady, an older lady. She was sick. And then actually Francis prayed for her. And I think it's a good thing. I don't know whether this lady will receive divine healing. I think it's not important. Even the passage we've read doesn't mention that those who come all have received divine healing. It's not important. Important that we follow what God has taught us, that we have to minister to the sick by praying for them, even though they are non-believers. They will receive the grace of God as we are faithful and obedient to His word. So proclamation is very important. As our primary things to do, continue to spread the gospel, because the word of God, the gospel, has its own power in itself. And we can do divine healing, pray for the non-believers as on the side, and maybe they can experience divine healing and they can have faith and come to Christ because of it. What I've just shared is, I think it's all theory, right? But think about those who are sick. They are suffering. Not only they are suffering, but the whole family suffers, right? They are suffering emotionally, physically, socially, financially, spiritually. Sick people suffer a lot. Well, not to say this or know about divine healing in theory. We won't know it just by heart. We know that sick people are around in this community and they're suffering. And their families are suffering. We want to offer divine healing to them, so they can get healed and comforted by God. So we need to take actions, not just sit here, know the truth of God, and then leave and just nothing happens afterward. So I give this a few takes away for you to consider. Offer healing prayers in your outreach. You can do that. You can do that. You can ask, is there anything I can pray for you? If he mentioned about sickness, you can pray for him or her. And pray that divine healing will be happening in his life or her life. Invite sick people, invite sick to come to church. Know about the healing power of God. And maybe we can pray for him. Pastor, elders can pray for them. You can pray for the sick yourself. In your personal prayer, pray for the sick. Every night, as I go to bed, I pray for the sick, especially the cancer patients. I pray for those who are suffering from cancer and hope that God's healing hands will be upon them. And also, encourage the sick, the believers and non-believers, to pray themselves so that they can experience God's healing in their lives. Encourage them to pray. Even though they are non-believers, if they can have just a little bit of faith, there is a God, there's a merciful God that wants to heal him or her, that encourage him or her to pray. Hopefully, when he or she can experience God's divine healing, he would open his heart or her heart to accept Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can ponder on bringing divine healing to the community. We know that proclaiming your gospel has power in itself, and we honor that. And we do that often. But help us also to bring divine healing to the unchurched, to the people who are suffering silently in our community. So help us to be merciful as you are. Help us to have faith in you that you will heal, because your will is to heal our sickness, especially as your children. Help us to have faith to claim the provision of divine healing so that our life will be made perfect or strength or make us or will be strengthened to continue to serve you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Simple, but very powerful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.